In this bulletin, the UN Damu community gathers in Alice Springs to mourn the death of a 19-year-old Wapri man shot dead by police at the weekend. Queensland battles hazardous fire conditions as catastrophic fire conditions in New South Wales ease. And Indigenous Affairs Minister Ken Wyatt convenes the first meeting of the Senior Advisory Group on an Indigenous voice to government. This is NITV Radio News, and I'm Biwa Kwan. Northern Territory Police have warned against social media commentary that could influence witnesses and impede an investigation into the death of a 19-year-old Wapri man. Kumanjayi Walker was shot dead by police as they attempted to arrest him over an alleged breach of parole conditions at a family home on Saturday evening. He was taken to the police station where he later died of his injuries. Police allege the fatal shot happened after Mr. Walker stabbed an officer, but UN Damu elder Elizabeth Katakarinja disputes that, saying Mr. Walker was unarmed at the time. NT Police Commissioner Jamie Chalker insists the investigation into the incident will have independent oversight by the Territory's Ombudsman and ICAC. But the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services says the community wants an independent investigation. Co-chair of the group, Cheryl Axelby, says it's important there is accountability.
The family have an independent autopsy as well. And they look into the death, and also we need to make sure there's independent investigation and that, you know, Northern Territory Police should not be investigating their own officers.
The UN Damu community is gathering in Alice Springs to march and protest over the death of Kumanjayi Walker. It comes as other Australians around the country also gather to mourn and back calls for an independent investigation. Wapri elder Ned Hargraves says the community wants justice. Indigenous Affairs Minister Ken Wyatt has convened the first meeting of a senior advisory group on an Indigenous voice to government. The 19-strong group includes Professors Tom Kalmer and Marsha Langdon, both of whom have been appointed to oversee the process. Minister Wyatt says he's optimistic about the initiative.
We have a very unique opportunity in front of us to enact meaningful, long-lasting change for not just Indigenous Australians, but for our entire nation. And along the way, everyone will get to have their say. You are all leaders in your fields and have a wealth of experience to contribute to the senior advisory group. I look forward to working with you all to develop models and options that ensure Indigenous voices are heard by all levels of government, local, state and territory, and federal.
Queensland is on high alert with high temperatures and strong winds expected to fan fires burning in the state today. Hundreds of firefighters are working to control over 60 fires, with firefighters being flown in from across the country, as well as New Zealand, to assist. A state of emergency has been declared in the state, with 12 houses lost since the fires began a week ago. Queensland Fire and Emergency Services Assistant Commissioner Tony Johnston told Sky News they're expecting severe conditions.
We're also watching the cold front and those that watch the weather. When you've got a warm front and a cold front that comes through, you can have some very unpredictable fire behaviour. And that's why we have over 40 aircraft on standby today. We've done some aerial observation early this morning to make sure that the fires that we've currently got going on the ground are mapped so we know exactly where those fires are. Incident control centres have worked through the night with a number of firefighters, making sure fires are contained.
Catastrophic fire conditions in New South Wales have eased, but firefighters continue to battle blazes. Over 50 homes are believed to have been lost in the blazes. 17 fires remain at watch and act level, but currently no fires are at an emergency warning level. Investigations are underway into whether some of the fires, including yesterday's fire in the Sydney suburb of Turramurra, were deliberately lit. New South Wales Minister for Police and Emergency Services David Elliott warns anyone found guilty of lighting fires will be prosecuted.
What really disappoints me is the fact that four people yesterday were charged with breaching the total fire ban order. And in addition to that, there was one minor who was given a caution. You must have arrived from Mars in a bubble if you didn't know yesterday that the state was in severe danger. And the fact that we had people wanting to act outside the law, endanger their communities, really is quite offensive.
New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian is urging residents to remain vigilant despite Tuesday's conditions having passed.
I have to confess to being hugely relieved this morning that yesterday our amazing volunteers and emergency service personnel withstood the catastrophic conditions and did manage to save life and property. Although this morning we are still faced with the prospect of having a significant number of fires raging throughout the state.
A total fire ban remains in place in the state. The Red Cross is calling for blood donations after having to close donation centres in Taree, Coffs Harbour, Port Macquarie and Byron Bay because of the bushfires. Queensland and New South Wales provide over half of the nation's blood supplies, and Blood Service spokeswoman Helen Walsh says they need the rest of the country to step up now to fill the gaps. She says blood is a critical resource Australia cannot afford to be short of and is urging all who can donate to book an appointment. Barnaby Joyce has retracted his comments that two bushfire victims were likely Green Party voters. The National's backbencher says what he said was deliberately misinterpreted, clarifying he does not believe anyone deserves to be killed in a bushfire. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has dismissed the comments and is urging politicians to stop bickering and instead focus on helping Australians affected by the fires. Former Cardinal George Pell has been granted special leave to appeal his child sexual abuse conviction in the High Court. The court this morning announced it granted the 78-year-old's legal team permission to appeal the case in the High Court in 2020. George Pell was found guilty by a jury of raping a 13-year-old choir boy and sexually assaulting another at St Patrick's Cathedral in Melbourne in 1996. It's a conviction he's continually denied and he's currently serving a six-year sentence. Former Bolivian President Evo Morales has touched down in Mexico, where he's seeking political asylum. Growing unrest and protests against Mr. Morales led to his resignation 2 days ago, after having led the country for 13 years. Thanking Mexico for granting him asylum, Mr. Morales says his exile will not stop him from engaging in politics. The full list of finalists for the 2020 Australian of the Year Awards has been announced. Tennis world number one Ashley Barty was among the last to be included, with her named as Queensland's Young Australian of the Year. 32 finalists are in contention for 4 award categories: Australian of the Year, Senior Australian of the Year, Young Australian of the Year, and Australia's Local Hero. The winners will be announced during an awards ceremony in Canberra on January 25th, 2020. And to sport in tennis, former number one Roger Federer has bounced back from his first round loss at the ATP Finals. The 38-year-old comfortably defeated Italy's Matteo Berrettini 7-6, 6-3 in his second round robin match of the tournament. The win comes just 2 days after the Swiss great was defeated by Austrian Dominic Thiem, and Federer says he's glad to be back on form.
It's unusual to lose and then come back and play again, but I did it last year, so I got some experience, but now I'm very happy how I played today. Matteo was always going to be difficult with the big serve. If you don't get the read and you don't get the balls back the way you're hoping to, you're going to be in trouble, and he was doing a really nice job in that first set. I think the beginning of the second obviously was key to get that break and then fend off those break points and get the win.
And now a look at the weather. In Perth, sunny 36, Adelaide mostly cloudy 20, Melbourne cloudy 17, Hobart showers becoming windy 16, Canberra sunny 21, Wollongong much the same 21, Sydney similar conditions 23, Newcastle sunny 23, Brisbane areas of smoke haze mostly sunny 33, Cairns mostly sunny 31, and Darwin mostly sunny 35. This is NITV Radio News.